actually not going to follow Paul's example this morning in that I'm not going to tell you off. Because he was a proper ticking off, wasn't it? He's giving them here in this letter. He's basically calling them big crybabies. Grow up, he's saying. Stop being so childish. Stop being immature. I could not speak to you as spiritual people, rather people of the flesh. Brave man. But he had a very important point he wanted to make to the Corinthian believers. It was so important that they grasped the truth that they were all in this together. That there can be no factions within the body of Christ. Apollos, we don't know that much about him. He was known to be a very learned man, a preacher and teacher, one of the early witnesses to Jesus, who did a lot of work around the developing churches, had worked with Paul. And yet here in Corinth, the people have got into their heads that you need to make a choice. You either were following Paul or you were following Apollos. Whose side are you on, they were saying. Because that's not how God's kingdom works. It can never work like that. A kingdom divided can never stand. A body fighting against itself is in real trouble. The only one way that can go, illness and ultimately death, when the body starts to fight against itself. And friends, you and I are the body of Christ. Just have a peep around. Have a look around. See who's here. I think one of the joys of worshipping here is our diversity across the generations. Is that we've got had a wonderful recent influx of babies, haven't we? Long may that continue. I do like that kind of organic church growth. Big believer in that. And also we've had new people who have joined us. People who have been here, well, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50? Anybody done 50 years at one of our churches? Yes? 60? Yes? I'll stop there. But isn't that wonderful that we have this heritage, we have these deep roots, we have this connection to a place and to a people. And that's just what Paul was trying to communicate to the Corinthians. And he was saying to them, listen, you are connected. You're in this together. You know, we can't afford the luxury of division, of factions. He said, you need to know that Apollos and me, all we are servants. Servants, just like you. Servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's this wonderful expression. What is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants, through you, whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Now, as a minister, I am aware constantly that I'm always building on somebody else's foundations. Unless you kind of found a brand new church plant from scratch, you're always building on somebody else's work. Apollos might have planted, Paul waters. And you can replace those names, any combination that you want, but it's God that gives the growth. Has this wonderful sense of being a servant. Our call, friends, is to be servants. Anybody like Downton Abbey? Yeah? It's a bit rough, isn't it, being in service? Long hours, not much holiday. They get well fed, I've got to say. What's the cook's name, Mrs.? Patmore. Yeah, she actually could come out of the house and cook any time. It looks great. But it's a hard life. And we need to understand, friends, that the call of the gospel to be servants is at times hard. I have no interest, and I've said this before, and you'll hear me say it again, I have no interest in peddling a soft gospel. This isn't an easy, comfortable gospel. We are not called to a life of ease, of disciples of Jesus Christ. We are called to be servants. And that means we have a Lord and a Master, somebody who tells us what to do. That's the whole point of being a servant. You do what your Master tells you. And that's challenging. And I want to make it quite clear to our new members coming in today, you are coming in as servants. This isn't like going to Cineworld, where you buy your ticket and then you simply consume, be it popcorn or nachos or whatever it is you like. Vastly inflated prices, I must add, but... and watch a film and go home. No, this is actually, you are a contributor. You make it happen here. And without you, things don't happen here. You're called to serve. And the things that you'll be promising in a few minutes is very much about that. To serve, to give, to pray, to worship, to follow Jesus. And those of us who have perhaps been members for, as we were saying, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years and beyond, we are still servants. You have a part to play, no matter what generation you belong to. Now, the pace may change. It might be that we let go of some responsibilities from time to time. It might be that we take a season out because of other things that are happening. Yes, it's not an even pace, our servanthood. There are times when God will ask more of us, God will ask less of us because of where we are, our health issues, our work, our family. A whole range of things can influence that, but we never stop being servants. It's very important you grasp that. You are never redundant in the kingdom of God. You might think, oh, my active days are over. Not convinced. You can still pray. You can still encourage. You can still be a witness. You can still point towards the glory of God, even in the twilight years. It annoys me immensely the way our culture seems to want to sideline people once they get past a certain age. Have you noticed that? It's so annoying. Because we miss out on so much. Anyway, I don't want to go down that track. That's not the sermon I'm preaching today. Back to being... because Paul, one of the things that Paul says here to the Corinthians is, you know, you need to understand this. For we are God's servants working together. God's servants working together. The idea is that we work collaboratively. The idea is that your gifts will complement my gifts so that collectively we are far more than the sum of our parts. It's one of the things I like what Paul teaches in later in this letter about the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives to each. Why? So that all are built up. The idea of our working together is actually you make me look good. I should make you look good in your servant of the Lord Jesus. We should be complementing one another in such a way that what we bring is multiplied. Every bit that's added enhances. One of the things that I believe is deadly to a church is when the majority let the minority do everything. This is not a spectator sport, friends. Being a member here is being a worker here, being a giver here, being a worshipper here, being a prayer here, being an encourager here, being a contributor here. That's what we promise. And it's not, you're not promising me, you're promising God. Well, certainly before God, to everybody that is here. This is a big deal, friends. And I sometimes fear we make light of these moments. I sometimes think we forget the promises that we have made historically. And we can easily get to that point where we're kind of coasting, freewheeling. We might reach a point where we think, oh, I've done my bit. Well, thank God that you did. But hey, there's still a bit for you to do. Don't give up. There's this wonderful image Paul finishes with. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building. You are God's field. God wants to plant and grow in your life. God wants your life to be productive, fruitful. God wants your life to be a life that is actually nourishing others. There's providing for more than yourself. God wants your life to be a thing that is able to feed and to care for others. That's what fields do, and that's what we are. We are to be fruitful. Now, I'm not for a moment saying any of this is easy. It's not. But it's good. It's satisfying. It's what we were made for. And then he says this wonderful thing about you being God's building. Elsewhere in scriptures, we're told that we will become the dwelling place of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the place where God hangs out. We are his home. Isn't that wonderful? There is something unique that happens when we gather together. I mean, this is why I have always been of the view that church is so important. You know the old expression, you know, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You've heard that? And it's true. It is true. Being a Christian is about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. However, without this, we'll always be less of a Christian than we could be, or I would even say we should be. I need you to make me a better man and certainly a better follower of Jesus. You need me. We need one another. We need the children, because often they will show us what a simple faith looks like. Not a childish faith. Jesus, when he pointed to children, said, you know, unless you've got a faith like this, it's childlike. It's that trust. We need amongst us. You know, we learn from those who've been there, seen it, done it, lived through it. I thank God that I knew all my grandparents, and that now my stepfather, Fred, is in his 90s, World War II veteran. Thank God for men like that. We can sit and talk, and he does like to talk, I'll be honest. He bends my ear when he comes out to see us. I don't need much small talk when Fred's around. I need a good listening ear. But what wonderful stories he's got. What wisdom, what insight. He's raised 7 children, 6 of them girls. If that's not something, I don't know what is. He's spent all his life working. He's fought for his country. And still he's got humour and wisdom. This is significant, friends, what we have here. You are significant. Your part is significant. You are part of this building. And I was watching, I think yesterday morning, BBC, there was this technology called Click, and he was at the toy fair in London. And they've launched a new software product for Lego, whereby you can log in and you can build Lego on your computer screen, and they said that from six bricks, you get the 6 million or 9 million configurations. How they know that, I don't know. But I used to love building Lego. Did you do Lego? We've still got a big box of Lego up in our spare bedroom now. And we're looking forward to the next generation when they can play with that, so that I can play with it, actually. But the frustrating thing is, if you're building your Lego house and you're a bit short, or you've got the wrong shape, and that happens in churches sometimes. Sometimes you're the missing piece. And I hope we can hear God speak to us this morning, friends, about our significance. I want to encourage you. I want you to know you are important. You matter. You have a contribution that is needed and necessary here. That's why God brought you here. He didn't bring you here to fill a seat. He brought you here to contribute. Because he sees in you, from all eternity, saw in you that potential, that field in which you can plant something that can grow and be beautiful, be nourishing, be significant to somebody else. One of the frustrations is we often don't know when we're being fruitful. It's often little things, the smile, the encouraging word, the way you might kind of touch somebody's arm in greeting as you pass them. That might be what they need just to make their day. And it's not even that obvious sometimes. The prayer that you pray, you might never see the outcome of that. But that's what builds this building, which is the people of God. That's often the fruit that will grow in the field that God plants in. Jesus talked about good soil, didn't he? We are servants together. I'm so thrilled that we've got this big crowd coming to membership this morning. It's wonderful. But I'm also thrilled that there are so many of us here that have said historically, I belong to this people. Firstly, I belong to Jesus Christ. And in his name, I belong here to this people. That really is something. And I hope many of us are challenged this morning to remember our membership promises. And maybe to ask the question, am I fulfilling those promises still? Am I where God wants me to be? I've had that conversation this week at walking the dog and saying, am I where you want me? And I know I'm not the finished article, neither are you. There's always room to grow, to become more like Jesus. So be servants. Be servants together. Be the field in which God can plant good things. Recognize your place in this building, God's building. Be encouraged. You are precious and loved and called.